Hello and welcome to this edition of the Beaver Dam. I'm Reed Mouse, joined along here with Tyler Veal, my co-host, and we actually have a very special guest, Athletic Director Phil Talavini. Phil, how you doing today?
Great, thanks. Appreciate being here.
Yeah, so I mean, you're actually the first person that we got in here in studio for the entirety of the podcast. So I mean, let's just dive right into it. And for those who don't know Phil, he's the Athletic Director. He's been the Athletic Director here, I think this is your 12th season.
Well, I got to count that. I count that. It's 6. 11? No, 15.
15.
This is 15.
All right, so and you've been here for over 30 years at Bluffton University.
This is my 33rd year.
You used to be the head athletic trainer. Do you miss athletic training at all?
You know, what I miss is the opportunity to talk with the athletes on a daily basis. I mean, there's a lot of unique friendships that I built over the time. People that I still talk to, you know, very regular basis. I miss that. Mm-hmm. But I just have it's just a new set of challenges that I have now, and I certainly look forward to those.
Yeah, I mean, you've been here for almost 15 years. Just like really quickly, out of everything you've done as being the athletic director, what would just be like the pinpoint? Like, what is the thing that you're most proud about?
Well, I think the fact that we started Team Bluffton, a way to get former athletes to, you know, hopefully contribute back to whether they're special projects or projects that the athletic department staff have identified as things that we need. I think that's probably the most thing I'm, you know, thus far most proud of.
Mm-hmm. And you used to be the athletic trainer here. Mm-hmm. How did you get here? I mean, you used to be on the athletic training staff for the Chicago Bears for 10 years. Like, how did you get to where you are today?
Well, you know, when I was at Anderson and I was graduating, I needed a job, and I'd applied to a couple different places and some GA spots, and you know, I came up and interviewed with Coach Carpenter, who was the head football coach and athletic director at the time, and you know, took a chance. He took a chance on me, and I took a chance, and I thought I'd be here 3 or 4 years, and you know, now 33 years later, here I'm still here, and the Bears opportunity was it was an internship that I did in the summers, and then after that I graduated, I was still able to maintain doing that for a period of time. You know, just a tremendous opportunity that I had, you know, to be around those guys. At a time when they won the Super Bowl, and that there were some, you know, certainly some unique personalities on that team. So just being around those guys and being an opportunity to travel around the, not only the country but you know across the pond 3 times, mm-hmm. certainly was very good to me.
All right, so I mean, before we get into what happened in this past week of sports, fall season's pretty much wrapping up. Just how do you think the fall went overall as a whole athletic department?
Well, I think there were. I mean, I'm a glass half full type of person, mm-hmm. so I see a lot of positives. You know, I know our football team has played a lot of close games. I know at 2-6, everybody's disappointed, but we've played an incredibly amount of young people.
Yeah,
that are going to make mistakes, and there's going to be a lot of positives, right? And I think we saw some of both on Saturday against Rose Holman, but I think that's been a. I think they've played well, even though their record doesn't show that. They've been in every game. You know, the last three of we've come out on the negative side, but goodness gracious, we've been in every game.
And absolutely.
You know, one play here, or you know, we make a play here, or don't make a play. I think that's been a positive. I mean, I think our soccer programs are in great, you know, very capable hands. We saw some tremendous growth this year on the women's side. Mm-hmm. A team that struggled with injuries last year. Have come back this year and been very, very competitive here in the conference. Won a couple matches, mm-hmm. and have played teams down to the bitter end. And I think on the men's side, you know, I think we just tremendous growth there in the terms of the number of people in the program. Now, if we can keep some of those, you know, we keep a good core of those, and go out, you know, and have another solid recruiting class. I think there are much brighter days ahead for both men's and women's soccer. Volleyball, you know, you think they're having a down year, but they finished third in the conference. Mm-hmm. They're right in a position to, you know, the conference tournament starts this, you know, this Wednesday, home match here against our rival from up north, mm-hmm. at 7:00. Coach Charnell's done a tremendous job with them, and cross country, we had our first female a winner of the conference meet.
Alexis Cash, yes.
Alexis did a great job, and we finished third overall on the women's side. The men were very competitive.
Mm-hmm.
Our golf program had a first year. Coach Craig's done a really good job leading that in the first year. I think it's been an exciting fall. I mean, sure, you always want it to be better, but I think for overall, I'm very, very pleased.
All right, well, let's just go into this week of Bluffton Athletics. So football team was back on their home turf after losing two tough games at Hanover and Manchester. They lost a close, thrilling game. Rose Holman, Finding Jersey, you were at the game. They lost 31-28. And like Brandon Koch, who's filled in the role of Colby Spiess, he's done about as well as you thought. A backup quarterback who has not seen any time as he went 17 for 44, had 200 yards. But Darian Greeley really carried this team offensively. You were on the field. I mean, what did you think of the game?
Well, I think it was the kind of game that we played the previous 2 weeks, as you mentioned. You know, we got down, we bounced back. I think our first drive of the game was like a 15 or 16 play drive that took a lot of minutes. It was against the wind. You know, and then, you know, we methodically went down the field, short passes and mixed in the running game. You know, it was one of those very pleasing moments. And then, you know, they would go ahead and we would come back. And, you know, geez, to the very end, you know, we had we got a late interception. You know, we're driving, you know, we're trying to move the ball down the field. And they're trying to make plays and we're trying to make plays. And it didn't happen. But just really a really good game to watch. It was a little chilly. You know, it was cool, but it wasn't cold. So it was certainly a good game, and I think it's very indicative of how the season has gone for us there.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned the last three losses have just been one thing go our way as opposed to the other team, and we're 3-3 or 6-3 or 5.
Yeah, I was just talking about it with this with Coach Dorrell this morning. You know, we're a handful of plays in those three games instead of being 2-6. You know, we could be 5-3.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Right, and really right in the thick of that, in the Heartland Conference race. And, you know, that's indicative sometimes when you play lots and lots of young people.
Absolutely.
Right? You're going to have good and the bad. And we've seen good and bad each week for the last three.
Mm-hmm.
And sooner or later, those plays that we need to make, you know, a third down stop or a big play on third down on offense – you know, it's going to happen for us.
Mm-hmm.
I hope it's the next 2 weeks. I mean, obviously this whole week we're home for Earlham on Senior Day. And, then the following week, we make that trip north.
Yeah, I mentioned earlier about Brandon Koch. Brandon Koch's filled in for Colby Spiess. Mm-hmm. Colby Spiess had that season-ending injury. And it really is felt like with Colby Spiess going down, the offense got a new kick with Darian Greeley, who was like the third or fourth string running back at the beginning of the year. He's ran tremendously, especially this past Saturday.
Well, I think the last couple of weeks he's really run hard and he's well and he's brought a different element than we hadn't seen. And you know where he was on the depth chart is, you know, I mean, there's so many factors that go into that.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that he's emerged right now, he's taken advantage of an opportunity. I watched the Sunday night football game and saw the wide receiver for the Steelers, Smith, do the same thing. He's taken advantage of an opportunity that. Yeah, and he certainly made the most of it.
Yeah, I mean, and speaking of wide receivers, I mean, Brandon Koch couldn't have came into a better situation. I mean, Micah Roberson, who's one of the best slot receivers in the nation in the history of Division III football. I think he's currently leading all three divisions in career receptions. And then Keon Camden, Adam Duncan, Lucas Espedi, he's got so many options to work with. He really couldn't have fell into a better situation.
No, well, if you're a quarterback and you look around and see that group of talented wide receivers, it certainly brings a smile to your face. And I'm sure that's happened to Brandon quite a few times. And, you know, I think the toughest part is just being able to spread it around, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, instead of just focusing on one person time and time again. I mean, just surveying the whole field. And I think both Colby and Brandon have both been able to do that this year.
So Senior Day is this weekend for the Beavers. They're hosting Earlham College Quakers. Kickoff is set at 1:30. You can listen to that on 96.1 The Wit.
You're listening to 96.1 The Wit.
All my friends are heathens, take it slow. Wait for them to ask you who you know. Please don't make any sudden moves. You don't know the half of the abuse. All my friends are heathens, take it slow. Wait for them to ask you who you know. Any sudden moves, you don't know that.
glimpse of the room of people who have rooms of people that they love one day docked away. Just because we check the guns at the door doesn't mean our brains will change from hand grenades. You love another psychopath sitting next to you. You love another murderer sitting next to you. You think I'd get this sitting next to you. But after all I've said, please don't forget. All my friends are heathens, take it slow. Wait for them to ask you who you know. Please don't make any sudden moves. You don't know the half of the abuse. We don't deal with outsiders very well. They say newcomers have a certain smell. Yeah, trust issues not to mention. They say they can smell your intentions. You laughing on the freak show sitting next to you. You laugh some weird people sitting next to you. You think I did not get here sitting next to you. But after all I've said, please don't forget. Slow. Wait for them to ask you who you know. Please don't make any sudden moves. You don't know the half of the abuse. I'm not making moves on the just to stay away. And now they're outside ready to bust. It looks like you might be one of us.
So moving on to women's soccer. The Bluffton women's soccer team had their last two games of the season last week, one on Wednesday where they traveled to Manchester, and on Saturday where they traveled to Transylvania University. On Wednesday, the Beavers dropped a 2-1 decision on Manchester. It was a very, very cold day. It was Manchester's actually first win of the season, and the Beavers jumped on top early when Brittany Huff found freshman Caroline Schutz for a 1-0 lead at the 14-10 mark. That score held until Manchester's Delaney Jones knotted up in the minute 74, and then Miranda Birmingham put the home team on top 11 minutes later when she found the back of the net in minute 85. Freshman keeper Jules Frazier had four saves, and then they traveled to Transylvania on Friday night. The Beavers were eager to play on the next day, Saturday, October 28th. The women's soccer team held Transylvania scoreless after 89 minutes. The Pioneers, I believe, had 40 shots that game, like 40-some-odd shots. So this freshman, Jules Frazier, she's really been something that this team has looked to all season to keep the games close.
She has, and you know, they have, and she's done an outstanding job. And you know, this is again, as I you know, I alluded to it earlier. I mean, we've got a good core group of first and second year players on women's soccer, and you know, and they. But the important key is this year they found some successes. Mm-hmm. They you know they were close games. I mean, obviously it's a heartbreaking way to lose, and you know with 30 seconds to play in the final, you know, your final match of the season. But they battled and they battled, and what we maybe we didn't always come up you know with enough shots, but we battled. I mean, geez, yeah. if they had 40 and we had whatever we had, the fact that it was a 0-0 game going into under a minute to play is tremendous, and I really am proud of the way the team competed, and certainly looking forward to them you know, to having a good off season, and certainly look forward to Coach Smith bringing in another. You know, a quality group of student athletes next fall.
Yeah, I mean, they scored with just 35 seconds left to play.
Awful. Awful from our perspective.
And we're not – you mentioned how they fought all season long.
They
kept the games close. I mean, unfortunately, we're not adverse to experiencing 10-goal losses in large games. So just to see how much this team has come in the past year or two.
Tremendous strides. Absolutely tremendous strides. I mean, my hat goes off to Coach Smith and her staff. I mean, under trying circumstances back in 2016, kept it together, recruited hard. The girls came in and have worked hard, again. So and they're seeing here late some of the fruits of working hard, right? Mm-hmm. Which is always very helpful. I mean, you want to see that the things that you're doing have been preached to you all year. That there's light at the end of the tunnel. I certainly believe we've seen that.
Yeah, I mean, these freshmen are hunger, I think, is a good word to say, because they just fight so hard. And even when you can see that the experience is in the other team's favor, the talent is on the other team's favor, this team sticks right with it, and they fight, and they're going to keep getting better.
Well, it's not always the talent, right? I mean, mm-hmm. talent it certainly is an important piece, and coaching is an important piece, but you know, you've got to want to do it. I mean, there's always less talented teams that win in certain periods of time. We see it at the NCAA basketball tournament every
Absolutely.
Year. There's always the underdog that prevails. Now, sometimes it's luck, sure, but a lot of times those teams are competing hard for the opportunity to try and beat someone mm-hmm. That on a typical day they're really not supposed to beat.
In lieu of her very last soccer game, Tyler Avila was actually able to run down Brittany Huff, and this is what they talked about.
Are you glad it's over?
It's kind of bittersweet. Like, I think my body is ready for it to be over because I've been injured almost every year. And thank goodness, though, this year I finished this season without having a major injury. But it's going to be weird not going to soccer practice or not coming back to next year.
Right. You had a goal versus Defiance. How did that feel setting the tone for you guys to beat your conference rival at the beginning of October?
It felt good because, you know, it's always good to score a goal, but especially against Defiance, it's always something different because it is our conference rival and they're the other purple school up north.
Right.
And so it was nice, but Skylar's the one that finished it all because she got the two goals after that, which makes it even nicer because then right after those two goals, it was game over after that. They weren't coming back, even though they scored a late goal. You could tell they'd given up.
So on senior day, a couple weeks later, it was a close game throughout, and then you had the free kick, which gave you ladies the lead, 1-0, and then the final score was 1-0 over Rose Holman. What was going through your mind before and after the kick? Because that was a far kick.
Before was kind of my normal thought that I always go up to a set piece. I have kind of three options. I either pass it out wide or I pass it down the center to try and get to someone's feet. I hit it over their heads and someone, like a girl on our team, will follow up on it, or I just hit it on frame, and if it doesn't go in, maybe they fumble the ball and someone else can come through and follow up. So it was kind of the same as always. It was just like a normal free kick. And afterwards, though, it was kind of surreal because we haven't really scored on Rose Holman for years, at least since I've been here. And we've never played this close of a game with Rose Holman since I've been here. And so it was kind of weird because it was like, okay, we are making changes in our program. We are striving to become better and we're competing with teams that we normally don't compete with. And so it was a good season in that aspect. And so it kind of, that game kind of showed that we are willing to make a change in this program. We are willing to make a difference.
Right. So you guys had your last game on Saturday at Transylvania. That was a hard game, but coming down to the wire, like, run me through that game. I know you guys gave up a goal late, like the 90th minute, right?
Yeah, there was probably around 30 seconds left when they scored. That was kind of the hardest part for me after the game because
right.
it was my last game. So the emotions were different for everyone. But we had been competing with them. Like, we didn't let them score. And they did have quite a few shots on us. But most of the shots were out of the 18, so they weren't dangerous.
Right.
And so we were competing with them more than we have ever competed with them. This is the closest that we've played with them for years. And so the game was good in that aspect. And then we started getting more offensive towards the end of the game. So towards the end of the second half, we started getting more offensive. And we were getting free kicks in their 50. And so we were getting more offensively. But sadly, yeah, they had one last corner in the last minute or so. And Jules had cleared it out, but unfortunately they had so many people there that it cleared out to another player on Transylvania. And she kept it on the ground, and it just, there was so many people and it was so chaotic, it just kind of
went
through, and everyone kind of just watched it hit the back of the net. And I think everyone's like heart kind of sunk into their stomach at that point, because we all were like just devastated because we had worked so hard that whole game.
Now, Jules, I saw she had 14 saves in that game. Can you talk a little about how she's really stepped up and taken that starting position at goalie?
Oh, yeah, for sure. She's taken a big impact on our team. She kept us in the game, honestly. She made saves that I don't think that if she would have made them, we would still have been in the game. She was making great saves, even though some of them, yeah, they were right to her, but some of them were really great, and she's definitely stepped up in that aspect. And I think all of the freshmen have definitely stepped up in the aspect of having starting positions and having to start the game as tough as they have. And so I think in all, the whole freshman class has done really well in stepping up and filling the spots that we really didn't have.
Right. So you ladies finished with a 3-14 overall record and 2-7 in the conference. That's not bad for a rebuilding year. In your opinion, how do you think the season went for you and then for the team together?
I think personally I have done a lot better in keeping myself consistent and making my free kicks, being playable, and I think in that aspect I did really well this year. But also I don't think I would have been able to do anything that I could have without my team, and it's mainly the team that is the big aspect in making this a new program. And so with it being very heavily freshman, it was kind of, we weren't sure how the season was going to go, because we have a lot of new faces. We have a lot of new people that don't have the experience.
Right.
And so it is kind of hard to kind of see that aspect of it. But I think that everyone meshed very well this year, which made it very easy to have a team that was willing to push forward and willing to go through our little ups and downs, because we had plenty of downs, we had plenty of ups. And so I think overall, I think it is a good strive to go forward and to make the program better.
Now, what is something for the team to look towards and build off of heading into the future?
I would think that just making the fact that we are competing. So they're seeing that we're competing with teams that were top in our conference. Like, we played Hanover, who we only lost 2-0, but last year we lost by a lot. And so, and the year before that, and the year before that. And so I think that these girls have something to look forward to, because we are competing with teams that are top in our conference, because Hanover finished in top of our conference. And so seeing that we are able to compete with teams that are very competitive makes them, I think, easier to look forward to things in the future, because they can see, okay, we have a light at the end of the tunnel that we can keep moving forward for.
Now, what is your most memorable moment of this season?
Honestly, it's really hard to narrow it down to one thing, but I would think my most memorable thing is just the girls, because they made it what it was. If they wouldn't have been there, it'd been totally different. If we would have had not as many come in, it'd been different. If we had more, it would have been different. And so I think I even told them that allowing me to have a group of girls that are as goofy as I am, because a lot of people don't see my goofier side, I guess. And so allowing myself to be as goofy around them as I can be really kind of made it memorable the whole season, because they were very able to let me just be myself. And so that was really nice.
Well, you have the winter off for a little bit, but then are you ready for softball to start back up in the spring?
I am. It's going to be weird again being the last season, but I actually have 2 weeks, and then I will be starting conditionings and liftings, which is nice because it gives my body a little bit of a break.
Yeah.
Because I'm a little tired and sore, and just being busy with student teaching and stuff, so that makes it nice to have 2 weeks. But yeah, I'm ready for it as much as it's going to be crazy, but I'm excited.
So on to men's soccer. The men's teams played their final two games of the year against Manchester and Transylvania as well. Also Wednesday, their team dropped its 2017 home finale to Manchester 5-0. It was cold and windy as it was for the women as well. Manchester took a 2-0 lead at the break, added 3 second half tallies, including 2 in the final 3 minutes for a 5-0 shutout at Sears Complex. Freshman keeper Levi Smith had 6 saves for Bluffton in the game. And also traveling with the women on Friday night, the Bluffton men's team played Saturday in Transylvania. Transy scored 2 quick goals and held off Bluffton for a 2-0 victory on Saturday. Bluffton finished its season 1-16, 1-8 in the conference, while Transy takes its mark to 15-1, 8-1 in the conference, and is the number one seed. Levi Smith finished with 8 saves for the Beavers on that day. There's a lot of parallels between this men's and women's soccer. I mean, they're very young, and they fought very hard all season long.
They did, and I think you're absolutely correct, Reed, that about the parallels there. And they're kind of in about the similar spots, a year apart. But again, I think Coach Cusack, again, brought in one of the largest groups of freshmen in my 30-plus years here. And he's worked hard with them, and they've worked hard, and they're buying in. And that doesn't mean that everybody does. You can't say always or never. I mean, they're all not going to do it, but he's got a wonderful core group that did have a little bit of success. They played much closer matches this year than they had in recent years. Again, we keep that core group together, add to it again. You take advantage of those underclassmen getting stronger and having a better idea what's going to happen to them. I think next fall we're sitting here with we have several more wins, and certainly several more conference wins that I think will, again, the future is bright with those two programs.
Very bright, absolutely. I mean, this team is young, but they're just a few years removed of doing something very special. I mean, it's not just physical size. You said getting stronger and stuff like that. And it's not just experience, like playing the game, but it's more playing with each other, playing with this team. These players haven't played with each other ever and asked to come in and play against some of the best teams in the HCAC. I mean, Transylvania is 15-1 this season, and they fought them 2-0.
Well, I mean, you're experience within a system. Knowing what to expect from the other teams. I mean, I think the more you play teams, you have a better idea what's going to happen. You know, it's kind of like in baseball, right? I mean, once you see a pitcher the second time or third time, and you know what adjustments you have to make. Now, sure, he's going to make some adjustments, but it's this game within the game, right? And I think we've seen that in some of our other programs. I know it's going to happen in men's and women's soccer. I'm confident of it. It's just a matter of, we need it to be the fall of 2018, to start seeing some of those rewards.
I think we can all agree that the programs are in excellent hands right now.
Cusack, fantastic.
Absolutely.
96.1 The Wit. 96.1, The Wit. Conveniently located in a dimly lit hallway. We are 96.1, The Wit.
So moving on to cross country, the Bluff University men's and women's cross country team competed at the HCAC Cross Country Championship held at Manchester University on October 28th. Both teams went into the conference meet with many goals, both individually and as teams. Many were met and few were exceeded during those two races. Without question, the race of the day went to sophomore Alexis Cash. In the year and a half of her collegiate running in cross-country, indoor, and outdoor track, Cash has never won a race. She had shown flashes of potential brilliance, but had never finished on the effort. On Saturday, that all changed. Cash came across the finish line in a commanding 15-second lead over second place to become the Beavers' first women's conference cross-country champion in school history, breaking the women's 6,000-meter school record as well with 22:57. We talked about Alexis Cash just briefly at the beginning. I mean, this is an absolutely tremendous, not only for her career, but also for this cross-country team.
Well, first of all, congratulations to Alexis. I mean, what an outstanding way to win your first, first race, right? You know, the conference, the conference championship meet, and in a full 15 seconds, which is just incredible in itself. No, it's fantastic. This marks the second time in the last 3 or 4 years that we've had the individual winner. So it speaks volumes about our cross country program. I mean, obviously it's running's tough, and you have to push yourself all. I mean, they have to push themselves all summer. They have to run in some inclement weather at times. They have to run early in the morning or late at night. So there's a lot of unique challenges there. But well, congratulations, Alexis. I mean, couldn't be happier for her. First, and certainly our cross country program, our coaches, and teams.
What a time to shine for Alexis Cash, though. She had never won a race.
Unbelievable.
Than to do it in the conference championship. Our very own Tyler Veal was actually able to sit down with Alexis Cash this week, and this is what they talked about.
Congrats on the win. That was awesome. So how does it feel being the first ever women's conference champion in Bluffton history?
It feels awesome. I'm really happy and been getting a lot of compliments, and I don't know, it's great. I'm really, really thankful.
So you also ran a PR time, 22:57. Take me back through that race and the preparation for it, just how everything just fell into place.
So my goal at the beginning of the race was to just get out in front, and I didn't know if I was going to be able to hold the lead, but my idea was to just get out there and stay up with the top runners for as long as possible. And we were getting to the mile, and I was like, wow, I'm still in first. Like, normally I'll be in first for a little while and then I fall back, but I was still up there. I'm like, wow, let's keep going. And I just really tried to stay up there. And something that really helped me was running the tangents. So instead of going out around the curves, just cutting the tangents,
right,
and staying in front of the girl behind me, and it worked.
So the team finished third. How's the morale of the team feel about that?
We still feel really good about it because we only have 7 girls, so we don't have much depth. And a lot of the other teams, especially the 2 teams in front of us, they have a lot of people on their team. So I think the fact that we placed third and we were points within second, I think we still did a really amazing job, and we all raced hard.
Yeah, it says Rose had 56 points, Manchester 60, and then Bluffton had 63.
Oh, wow.
What are your thoughts on the rest of your fellow women runners on the team and their placing on Saturday?
I think they did a great job. I think they all left it all out there, and I know Jenny got 4th, and then Kimmy, she's just a freshman, and she got honorable mention, so that's awesome. I think we all pushed ourselves really hard. We were all ready before the race, and I think we just got the job done. We didn't get first, but I think we still did an amazing job for the amount of people that we have.
So what's your thought on the rest of the season for indoor and outdoor track? Because that's coming up in a bit. So you guys don't really have much time to take off, to really rest, like most of the other teams do. How do you think about running outdoor track and indoor track and all the prep for that after running your hardest at the beginning of the year?
I feel a lot better about training after racing really hard Saturday. I feel a lot more confident, and I can put more into workouts, which is awesome because we can improve even more as a team if we put more into our workouts. And I don't know, just the fact that it's a year-long sport is really great because we can keep working at it. And I'm really excited to see what we can do. Even though we did really well at conference, we still got more that we want to accomplish.
Now you guys have the regional coming up in a couple weeks. What would be your guys' prep for that?
So this week is our hard week, and then the week after that we taper before the race. So pretty much the workouts this week, we really need to give it all we got. And then next week we're going to get a little bit of rest, give our legs some rest, so we can race well Saturday.
Well, the Beavers were far from done. Junior Jenny Madison was 5th place, but dug deep across the line, 4th on the field of 85 with a personal record time of 23:43. Cash and Madison earned all Heartland Conference honors for finishing among the top 12 competitors. Freshman Kimmy Hetrick had a running time of 24:34, came home 15th, and was quickly followed by senior Alexis Hoke with 24:41 and 20th for each of them to earn honorable mention. Sophomore Ari Cox competed for the Beavers, scoring Varsity 5 with a solid 27th place finish on a time of 25:22. The women had a set as a goal winning the team title, but that was not to be. In a back-and-forth team battle for the top 3 spots, the score ended with Rose Holman 56, Manchester 60, and Bluffton 63. The men's squad went into a competitive part of the season down with their number one runner, Chris Lyons, who was diagnosed with a season-ending injury just 2 weeks after arriving on campus. While Lyons remained a leader and an enthusiastic part of this team throughout the season, his running was sorely missed. Regardless, the men rallied with the spirit and huge commitment, rose to a respectable finish. Sophomore Dakota Frost, who came up big with Chris Lyons out of the season, ran home to a 7th place in a field of 93, a quantum leap from his finish at last year's HCAC meet, 32nd, earning all Heartland Conference honors for his efforts at a running time of 26:35. Dakota Frost came up big with Chris Lyons being done. I mean, Chris Lyons was their guy going into the season, and him getting that season-ending injury, they had a lot of people that had to step up, and sophomore Dakota Frost definitely did that.
He did, and certainly, again, congratulations to Dakota on an outstanding race and being all conference. Yeah, sure, and it's tough to lose your number one runner, or you know, a runner that you think is going to lead you through the season, and to lose him that early is certainly a tremendous blow. Mm-hmm. And but you know, hats off to the team. You know, they competed, they got better each week. You know, as I always, you know, I have to write a little report for, you know, when the Board of Trustees are here, and I always say, you know, the goal is to run your best in the conference meet in late October. So, you know, sometimes those early meets get a little skewed. You know, their time, I know it's disappointing for the runners sometimes, you know, that they're not happy with their times. But I think here in late October, I think they would all say, or I would hope they would all say, that they're at least pleased with their times that they mm-hmm. ran.
So junior Jonah Eckert raced to a 19th finish in an honorable mention position with a time of 27:43. Sophomore Connor Gulick crossed the line a mere two places behind Eckert, narrowly missing the last coveted honors position with a time of 27:54. Juniors Wyatt Bayer and Michael Lehman rounded out the men's scoring at a mile two. Junior Jacob Hill, the usual fourth or fifth runner for the Beavers, lost a shoe. He ran the remainder of the race in his sock, which set him back, needed seconds, perhaps places, which could have made the difference in team scoring. When the results were posted, team scores were tight, with 4th, 5th, and 6th reading Manchester, Anderson, and Bluffton losing just 5 spots. While the HJC Championship is a cornerstone event for the season, an even bigger occasion is still on the calendar. The NCAA Great Lakes Regional Championship, contested in 2 weeks at Ohio Wesleyan University, determines which teams and individuals move on to the Division III NCAA National Championship. Additionally, the top 35 athletes in each field of roughly 300 runners will all earn all-region honors. The meet will take place in Palo, Ohio, Liberty Park. The men's 8,000-meter race will start at 11 a.m., followed by the women's 6,000-meter race at 12:15. And you mentioned it. If there's a time where you want to be running your best, it's at the end of the season.
Oh, my goodness, absolutely. I mean, as a distance athlete, you want to be doing your best at the end. You want to have put yourself in a position to be able to do these things. And sure, some of it you have to be a little lucky from the injury standpoint. I think that it's always that way in any sport. But it also means, you know, you've worked hard, but it also means you're eating well, means you're getting plenty of rest. You've done your workouts all summer, and there certainly is a lot that goes into it.
And speaking of doing your best work at the end of the year, volleyball's come up, and we've talked to Coach Yarnell before, and we mentioned how every year it seems like this team, like, will they be able to do it again? They won the last 4 conference championships, and you mentioned it. It seems like they had a bad year, even though they only finished 3rd place, and that's just because they've won the last 4. But honestly, in terms of where they've sat in the past few years, this is somewhat typical for them. I mean, they've lost to Hanover every year in the past few years. Here they are sitting again, trying to end Hanover season and trying to win the conference championship.
Yeah, it's strange how it's worked out. I mean, I know we've, you know, Coach Arnell and I have talked about, especially last year or the year before, that it'd be nice to host that mm-hmm. event on our campus. I think it would be great for our community, mm-hmm. both on campus and off campus. It'd be great for our parents. But, you know, sometimes hosting that event adds an extra
bit of pressure.
It sure seems like it does, right? And I think, as we've gone to Hanover the last few years, the first time, you know, we beat them, the second time you beat them, then it starts to play these games with you. So it'll be interesting. I mean, I think we've got a talented team. They've worked extremely hard. They've been challenged in some matches. In the last couple of years, there's been some times where they haven't been challenged during the regular season. We've been challenged more this year. We're going to be challenged again Wednesday night when we host Defiance. But I firmly believe, you know, we have a good chance to win that and move on and play Hanover again, mm-hmm. Saturday afternoon down at their place.
How exciting that would be to host the conference championship just 2 years ago when women's basketball team did. It was absolutely awesome in the Sommer Center.
That was absolutely fantastic. Now, it certainly was a plus that we were still in class, mm-hmm. right? So the students were still here. We got great support from our faculty and staff on campus, and tremendous community support. Mm-hmm. It was loud. And both in the semifinal game against Transylvania and in the championship game against Rose Holman, I mean, it was absolutely fantastic. And you know, we want to bring more of those events back to campus. I mean, it's fun.
Absolutely,
it's exciting for all involved.
Well, a quick recap of what the women's volleyball team did. In a 3-game span, 2 big things happened with the volleyball team in one night. First things first, the Beavers locked up a berth in the upcoming Heartland Conference Tournament, and senior Sydney Moeller became the all-time leader in digs. She's a four-year starter, libero. She's had an absolutely fantastic career for the volleyball team, and she's really been a part of these last three conference championships. Tyler Avila was actually able to sit down with the all-time digs leader, Sydney Moeller, and here it is.
How does it feel to be Bluffton's leader in digs?
It was really exciting for me. I didn't know I was actually close to the record until this year. So when I broke it, it was like a huge accomplishment, and I couldn't have done it without my teammates and their support throughout the years.
So you guys played Manchester the day you actually broke the record. Now, it was at Manchester. Did they say that you broke it, or did you find out after the game?
I found out during the game because Coach was joking around with me, saying I kept needing one more dig to get the record. But I had already known from my teammates that I broke it in the second set.
Are there any words of encouragement for the team for next year?
Just to keep working hard. We're getting better every year. Bring in some good recruits in. Be a good leader for those recruits.
What's your game plan for the Defiance game?
We know a little bit about them already because we played them earlier in the year and we won in three. But just to come out with high intensity and energy, because whenever we play Defiance, it's always a big game for both schools and both schools want to come out on top. So just play our game and relax and just have high energy during it.
And on Wednesday, October 25th, the Beavers traveled to Manchester University and beat the Spartans 3-1. The Spartans beat them in the first set, 25-23, a hard-fought set. But then the Beavers took control in the last three, winning 25-17, 25-22, and 25-20. Then on Saturday, October 28th, Bluffton had their last home game of the season, hosting a tri-match with Earlham and Illinois Tech. The Beavers swept the Quakers in three sets, 25-19, 25-20, and 25-20. They also swept Illinois Tech 25-21, 25-22, and 25-22 to improve to 18-10 on the year and 7-2 in the HCAC. By the virtue of the series of tiebreakers that came down to the conference points, Rose Holman, who's 7-2 in the HCAC, claimed the second seed for the first round bye. Transylvania, also 7-2 in the HCAC, took the 3 seed. Bluffton will take the 4th spot. Bluffton will host Rival Defiance Wednesday night for the right to play regular season champion Hanover College, who's 9-0 in the conference, on 2 p.m. on Saturday. We mentioned it that the past few years, it has seemed like Bluffton has ended Hanover's season. Well, this year, Bluffton hasn't had the same playmakers they've had in the past. Mackenzie McFarlane, Lauren Weisgerber, they've had a lot of people have to step up with Bethany Martina and Lauren's little sister, Erin, and I think they've done a tremendous job.
Oh, it's been fantastic, I think. Yeah, kudos to Coach Arnell and his team. I mean, they every year figure out a way to be really competitive, right? And to win a large share of their matches overall, a large share of their conference matches. I mean, you know, 7-2 in the conference. I mean, in a year where you know we weren't sure, maybe quite sure how it was going to play out, to win, to be 7-2 and tied, and really tied for second place. So, I mean, at the end of the day, I know how we're seated fourth, but. You know, we got pushed a little bit more, but you know, they found a way to dig deep and to do it when they needed to, and I think being pushed a little bit is going to aid them here as the conference tournament starts up.
Well, let's see if they can do it again as they start up this Saturday. I got a few more questions. I mean, fall sports has rounded up. Winter sports is getting ready to gear up, and how's the athletic department looking going into the winter season?
Well, you know, that's always, I get asked that a lot, and I it's until I get, and I, you know, I pop in and watch a little bit of practice here or there, but, you know, it's tough to gauge when you're doing it, when you're practicing and scrimmaging yourself. Mm-hmm. So I'm anxious to see some scrimmage time. I'm anxious to see some, you know, some game opportunity early in the year, just to see. I mean, I think both programs are going to be competitive. I think both have outstanding returners. And both have a nice mix of first year student athletes or transfer student athletes that are coming to help us. So I don't know. I mean, I'm going to say I'm cautiously optimistic that we're going to have solid seasons. Mm-hmm. And there's just so many factors. Like I mean, I don't know what the other schools have, right? So it's hard to compare. I mean, you know, our women were picked third. You know, our men were picked near they're in the bottom third of the league. Again, there are so many factors, right? I mean, a lot of those times you're picked based on how you finished last year, but then, you know, people graduate, new people come in, some people decide not to play, so many factors. So,
I mean, one big question certainly for the men's, is how is Austin Rohde going to be – how is someone going to fill the shoes that Austin Rohde left behind?
Well, I'm not – you know, he had a tremendous career here and had absolutely had a fantastic senior year. But, you know, sometimes it's – there can be a lot of standing around watching one person, right?
Yeah.
So if you try to get everybody involved and you can be more balanced and be just as competitive, if not more competitive from a team standpoint, rather than sometimes – it's easy, you know, you get caught up standing around watching. Okay, you know what? How's he going to score now?
Yeah,
you know, is he going to hit that long three pointer? Is he going to take it to the basket? Did he create a steal for a dunk? So I'm anxious. You know, we've got some good young first year athletes, so I'm anxious to watch them perform.
Yeah, I mean, the question doesn't necessarily be who's going to fill the shoes. It's could be a collection of people. It doesn't necessarily need to be one person. It could be the team's going to gather around that role, and maybe someone will shoot more than. Like Austin did, maybe someone will take it to the hole. Like it could be a full team, and you're right. It makes the team more dynamic.
It's a team game. At the end of the day, I mean, two wins, all right. Mm-hmm. And you know, you want to try and win. And I think you have to as we use a lot in athletics, you have to trust the process, right?
Absolutely.
And if you trust the process, and you start here, and by the end of the year, you're playing your best basketball. Then kudos to all involved, and hopefully that will. Turn into a long run in the conference tournament.
Well, the final question I have today is, what is the most exciting thing happening in Bluffton Athletics right now?
Well, I think, obviously, that transition from the fall season to the winter season, right? I mean, it got colder outside Saturday. Mm-hmm. So to have more events inside will be nice. I think, obviously, the most exciting is going to be Wednesday night when we host Defiance.
Yep,
and we need the student support. We need the local community support. We need faculty and staff support to come out and cheer us on so that we can make that trip to Hanover. But the most thing is we've got a good group of coaches. We've got a good group of student athletes who want to get better, that want to work at getting better. And if they're willing to work at this, I think there are very bright days ahead for all of our athletic teams.
I couldn't agree more.
Student-driven media since 1913. We are 96.1 The Wit. We'll be right back.
And that wraps up this edition of the Beaver Day. And we thank you for listening and encourage you to come back and listen to us next week. Check out previous podcasts. Search and subscribe on iTunes or Google Play, the WIT 96.1 podcast at Bluffton University. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at the Beaver Dam 96.1. For more stories and information, check out our website, bluffdenwit.com, and subscribe. This has been Reed Mouse, joined along with Tyler Vila and Phil Talavini. We thank you for coming in.
Absolutely pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
And we thank you for listening to 96.1 The WIT.